This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by CamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer, and tonight's program was sponsored by KMREducation.org, The Healing Minds Magazine.com, and LifeTalkMarietta.com. As of 2021 in the United States, about 50% of married couples divorce, the sixth highest divorce rate in the world. Subsequent marriages have an even higher divorce rate. 60% of second marriages end in divorce, and 73% of all third marriages end in divorce. Owning your life after divorce is tonight's topic, because divorce will always take you outside your comfort zone. I'm putting it very mildly. So the sooner you can adjust and redirect, the sooner you will start shaping your future. Around 7:35, Julie Winter will join us and talk about the importance of listening to your inner voice. It's called intuition and working with it daily. So Julie will come on around 7:35. But right now, joining me is a very familiar face, a very familiar voice. Norma Giannatasio is our guest tonight. Good evening, Norma.
Hi, Marietta. How are you?
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being. I know you have a full week, and thank you really for being with us tonight. I really, really appreciate it. It feels like old times.
It feels like old times. Real comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't have any announcements right now. I do want to say, we're on again next week, Tuesday, from 7 to 8, and health in our mind directly improves health in our bodies. So 7 to 8 next week, that's the only announcement I have. And Mr. Rich, our engineer, I'm ready to go. You are with Life Talk with Marietta and Norma. Good evening to everybody. And owning your life after divorce. That is our topic. And in the first segment, we're going to discuss stand on your own 2 feet. That's what we're going to discuss, Norma, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have gone through in our younger days, when we first start, you know, our life, and we see life with rose-colored glasses, and we really don't have any life experience. You know, we have our parents to go to for financial help, maybe our grandmother, maybe we have a little credit card or two, and we reached our credit limits, and things are not working out in our marriage, and you know, we say, well, I should really hang in there, because I don't have the belief that I can make it on my own. You know, you work a little bit, and, you know, it really doesn't pay the rent fully. And so a lot of people are in situations where they say, you know, I would really make that leap, but I just can't make it. So this is how people start off. you know? And then when you get a little older, when you're in your 30s, you still think the same thing, the same thoughts, because nothing changed, you know?
Right.
So I like to guide our audience together with you. I like to learn a little bit how your life path was, and I like to share mine, but I'm going to start with yours. So go ahead, Norma.
Well, I married in the 60s, but I was very young. I was 19. So the world today is totally different world. I had a career, but a lot of girls in the 60s didn't have careers when they got married. I became a hairdresser. I loved it. I stayed with it. But as I had my children, it was part-time. So it was never a full investment. My family came first. My career came second. And as 20 years went by, it became in the 80s, I started to change. Things happened in my marriage that were not expected. You know, everybody gets married with the hope that it lasts forever. Nobody really, in my opinion, ever gets married or walks down the aisle thinking, if it doesn't work, I'll just get a divorce. No one has those hardcore feelings. We're all in love. You're right about the rose-colored glasses. We want it to work, and we want it to do the best. You have children, now you really want it to work. So as time goes by, I don't know, I felt like I was, I guess, in my 40s and things weren't going well. There seemed to be getting worse. I started to realize, do I stay in this for the kids or because it's financially, good for me to stay and it's going to be hard for me to leave, or do I go? So after a 20-year marriage, I decided, I don't know, this isn't going to get any better. I'm not happy. My kids are going to be okay. I'm going to make sure they're okay. But you're right. Financially, it's fear. Part of it is fear, disappointment that your marriage didn't work out, a little bit of guilt, could I have done more? But when you realize you've done all you could do, marriage counseling or whatever needed to be done, and you did it and it still didn't work, you're ready for the change. But you're right, the fear of the financial burden comes over you. The girls today, I think, didn't have it the way we had back then in the 80s, where a lot of women didn't have really substantial careers, and it was a little frightening for me because I had only worked part-time, but I knew that if I made this move in my life to go through with the divorce with my ex-husband, that I was going to have to change me and not expect him to take care of me, unless you're divorcing, I think, a very wealthy man, and that's a small percentage of us that do. And you could sit back and reap his harvest of, $1 point something million. That's usually not the case. So I knew right away, I have to go back to work. That's the number one thing. Whether you have a career or you need to get a job or you have a part-time job, you better be thinking about getting a full-time job. You better be thinking about how you're going to make this work to make yourself feel better, because you really do have to. If you can't go to a pity party, I feel like you can't go to the pity party, especially if you're a single mom. You've got these kids that are looking at you, and they're afraid. They're in a place they've never been before. Dad's not going to be around. Am I safe? Is my mom, is it going to be okay with my mom? I'm sure that goes through their head. And knowing that I had four kids, I knew that my children were afraid, and I wanted them to be safe with me. I wanted them to know that we weren't going to be out on the street, that we were going to have a home, we were going to have food in the refrigerator. And I had to make those changes, and they aren't easy, and it is scary. It's very scary, and I was still young and had four kids. It wasn't anything I was prepared for. I just was not prepared for it. But you can't be prepared for it.
Right, and, you know,
but
especially four children. Right, four children.
Yeah. I really focused on the kids. You're right, because to me, the kids were more afraid than I was. I knew I could take care of myself. As a young woman, I always knew that I could. But you're right, I went from my parents' home at 19 to my husband's home, to our home. Where did that really give me any kind of encouragement that I could do this? I don't know. It didn't really.
Exactly.
So 20 years
later.
Here's
the thing. Right. Our generation was really told marriage is forever, because our mothers passed that on to us. That was that generation way back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so so disappointing and so hurtful when things don't work out, and then you hang in there. You might see a therapist, or sometimes people hang in there just to prove, hey, I gave him the best years of my life, and he did this and that, and now I'm going to hang in there. A lot of women, it's like a punishment. I never thought that way.
And also, but, you don't want to disappoint your parents. If you have old school parents, I worried about how my parents are going to feel about the divorce. I'm from an Italian family. This is not looked on kindly. This is a shock to everybody, and they were upset.
From the old schools, they said if a woman spoke up against her husband, that was a bad thing. I remember my father. I remember my father when I did that, because he witnessed that one time, and we were visiting our home, our parents' home, and he said, oh, he's going to leave you, my father said, he's going to leave you. And I looked at my father, and I said, so what? That's how I reacted at the moment. That's how I reacted at the moment. So,
you weren't allowed to speak up. It was frowned upon. Yeah. You did something wrong right away.
So, of course, then, when you realize that you're in a marriage where it just doesn't work anymore, there's too much anger going on, too much battlefield every single day, maybe just for a couple of hours, you reunite again, and then you start the battlefield. And I tell you, when you have certain things happening in a marriage, like cheating, let's just say just one area, many things can happen, but let's just say the cheating, that is it, no matter what one or the other side says, because you want to glue that together and then try again, like some people do, you know, and we have done that too, you know, because you don't know better.
I gave it a second chance. And it was, you know what happened, though? The battlefield became internal for me, because it was inside that I felt sick to my stomach, inside that I wasn't feeling that I did the right thing, but I did it for my family. I said, okay. So it's sometimes that battlefield turns inside on you. It tricks you. It's an internal battlefield that you're feeling it. No one else is feeling it, but you're feeling it every day without saying a word.
Yes, and once you have these doubts, once you experience that, you will always have these doubts. These doubts come out at certain times, and you yourself feel you have to be on guard all the time. You have to be ahead of everything. So forget it. It just doesn't work. But moving on, let's say we have now split from our partner. We got to get our finances in order. We must get our finances in order. That's it. Yep. Start with your credit scores. You know what your credit scores are. Mm-hmm. So that proves, hey, and look at your credit, what you have, because you need to work on borrowing power. When you need money, you need to be able to go to the bank and say, I need to take out a loan. So that's the first thing somebody should do before they even get divorced. You got to get the finances in order.
Yeah.
Look for a higher paid job. So
if you have a part-time job and you can't get a full-time job, get another part-time job. You have to make it work.
Yeah. You have to make it work. Exactly. Norma, that's it.
You know, people say, I can't find, even today with the COVID and all that, with going through divorces, I can't find a full-time job. And you look at them and you say, did you ever think of getting a second part-time job? You know, 20 hours here and 20 hours there, guess what? It's a full-time job. But you're going
That's
to
right.
two different locations. So what? So what? The income,
exactly.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
That's
all
exactly
money. It doesn't
right.
matter where you get it. It doesn't matter if you have to take two trips to get it a day. It's all about the
exactly.
money at the end of the month. Yeah.
You got to move and shake your butt. B-U-T-T.
Yeah.
And I put it in a polite way. So also take inventory of your skills and talents. You know, really think about and talk to a coach about it. Really, if you can see your talents and skills, you talk to me. You come and talk to me, and I'll point it out. I'll point out your your strengths and your weaknesses, and we're going to work with
this. Someone else can see what you're not aware of just by knowing you. It's like, wait a minute, you're pretty good at this, and you're pretty good at that, and you're looking at them like, really? So, yeah, absolutely go to somebody else who sees you in a different light with a different pair of glasses on.
Yeah. And I can back that up, that statement, Norma. I remember in the 80s, I was still an employee in the finance department. And I had met a man in real estate. Really, you know, I was dating him a little bit. And he said, Marietta, you should be earning $250,000 a year. And I looked at him. You can earn $250,000 a year. Now, he wasn't trying to recruit me for whatever he was doing. He was just saying, hey, you're intelligent. You can do better. He saw a lot more than how I viewed myself. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is something very true about let other people look at who you are and let them see, because that is really true. If you don't see it, somebody else will.
Yeah, absolutely. So, 100%.
And I will. Okay, so we're going to just go for a quick break, and we're going to continue our conversation with Norma Giantazio.
Okay. Great. Okay.
You tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. With us tonight is Norma Giantazio. The topic is owning your life after divorce and stand on your own two feet. I like to finish with that, because we weren't finished. It's just we get very emotional. How can you not, when you talk about this, we get emotional. Let's get emotional. So
it's an emotional moment.
So here's the thing. Independent, self-sufficient. It takes a while till you got that under your belt, till this all works. Mm-hmm. It takes some time. But the key is here, when you have this mission, you got to set the goals and you know what the end result will be. The end result will be that you have a minimum, let's say, of $5,000 a month to work toward, a minimum, let's say. So, in order to achieve that, you got to learn how to ask for what you need. You can't be timid about asking. When you want something, you got to think about how you should ask and who you're going to ask, but don't feel intimidated asking. That has to be learned too. That's not an easy thing. A lot of people they're timid. They're afraid to ask. I said to myself, I don't understand. You have to know when to ask and how to ask. And you will get.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the nice, right, Norma? That's the nice thing.
What's the worst thing that could happen if you ask for help or guidance? What's the very worst thing that could happen if someone says no? So you move on. It's what are you afraid of? You know, 90% of the time, you get encouragement, you get wisdom, you get knowledge, you get financial help or whatever it is that you need. And you know what I find, too, is kids, when they're going through a divorce with their mothers, especially, I'm just speaking as a mother, they saw me struggle. Your daughter saw you struggle. I feel that my children earned a certain amount of respect for me as a woman that they would have never seen had I felt sorry for myself. My kids respect me. They respect me. I don't think they love me any more than any other kid loves their mother, but they respect me more because they know what it took for me to get from point A to point B in baby steps. They watched it. And they watch it, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because I get older now. I see the respect in their eyes that they have, like your daughter has for you. You did it. You did it. You made it. You made it out of that dark tunnel, you know, that dark tunnel you're in when you're in divorce. The tunnel's very dark for a long time. It's tough. And you want to see that light at the end of the tunnel. So do your kids. And it's a great thing when you know that your children respected you more, even for what you went through.
And you know what's interesting? There are people out there that have just a wonderful, great life, meaning they don't have too much adversity in their life. Everything goes smooth. They stick with the same job, so they constantly have the same income. There's no roller coaster rides. And they don't understand when other people go through the ups and downs, because they operate in this box, right? Mm-hmm. And then when things happen to their friends who they very much care about, then they start thinking differently. And it wasn't much later with my daughter that she understands now all the different things I have done in my life in order to get to where I'm sitting today on this chair. I have a throne today, a throne I'm sitting on.
And you earned it. Yeah. You earned it. Yeah.
It's, it's amazing.
She figured it out. She figured it out.
Yeah. And you know,
said,
I have to tell
our,
yes. Do you know, I have to tell our audience what I can say when I leave this earth, that I had the opportunity, I provided myself the opportunity to explore life. And I walked the path, and I did what I wanted to do. I didn't set out to be a Hollywood star or anything like that, but I wanted to do, and I still want to do, what I love to do. And it was worth it, every bit of it. So you had to scale back a little bit, you know, a fancy fancy house, a fancy car. No, so so you make adjustments.
Yeah,
I wanted to make adjustments.
You have to sell that house and get a smaller house. Big deal. So what? It's the big picture that matters. It's at the end of the road what matters. It doesn't matter that you kill yourself or you become house poor to stay in this house because of your neighbors or your family. No, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. Do whatever works for you and makes life easier for you and more practical for your family. Everything falls into place after that.
Yeah. And then another thing, Norma, we've known each other now for 4 years. I'm a stickler. I'm an advocate, especially when you get a little older, over 60 or let's say over 55, and you're right about that retirement age, that you continue full throttle right up till, 80, 90, till you can't do it anymore. So we don't look our age. You know why? Because we're mentally and physically and emotionally active. We're active.
Definitely.
We don't look our age.
No.
You know,
no.
Because we're not retired. No. We're not retired.
No. Yeah.
So,
I agree. I agree.
You know, now I want to get into how we can break some of the patterns. People, it's important that we work on ourselves. You know, a lot of people at a certain age, they get sick, they this and that and the other, and they don't try things anymore. And they're not active anymore. How can we change this, Norma? What is it that we can say or do to help these people? Or are they just so stuck in their ways that, any help?
I think some people, I think they get so comfortable. Like you said, they're in a cocoon or they're in that hamster wheel where, if I do this, then that might change that, And what a tough way to live. I mean, yeah, you're right. They have no adversity. But are they really happy, I wonder? I don't know if they really are that happy, but sometimes you just have to go out of the box. You have to push the envelope and just say, what can I do for myself? I think that's what it is. I don't know about men so much, but women, we've done things for other people our whole life. And as you get older and you fall into a rut, think about what you could do for yourself to make you feel better. What did you like to do that you didn't have time for, that somebody wouldn't allow you to do maybe when you were married? Maybe a simple thing like going bowling or line dancing. Maybe it was something your husband hated for you to do, and you were told, "Oh, you can't do that. You can't." That's, and maybe now you're older, you paid your dues, and now you want to enjoy a little bit of life. Go line dancing. Go bowling. It doesn't matter how old you are. Do it, because it's our lives that we're living now, not our husbands, not our kids, not our ex-husbands. It's our lives that's passing us.
Exactly.
Our lives.
Now, Norma, not everybody will live their life with a partner, meaning in a married situation. Not everybody will have that. And that's right. Okay. It's not for mm-hmm. everybody. And even if it was for them, it's not going to happen for whatever reason. So if it happens, it's a blessing.
Right, so, it's wonderful. Right,
it's great. It's all wonderful. So, mm-hmm. but I've always been the type of person I like to make my own decisions. If I need help, I will ask. So, mm-hmm. Why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? No, let me figure this out myself. I don't need. If mm-hmm. I need help, I'll ask.
Yeah? Right.
And I just want to point it out. Nobody needs to feel bad if they don't have a partner on their side. It just doesn't happen for certain people, and it's okay. And
it's
you
okay.
know what?
Nothing, yeah.
I want women, especially women, to be their own best partner. I want people to say, I'm going to go on this journey. I'm going to prove that I can stabilize mm-hmm. my finances. That will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen, in a few months. It's going to take some time, but you need to have that goal. In the meantime, don't do anything fancy. Like, hey, this is my opinion. I think dating is not good when you're on a mission. It's not good, and I tell you why. For me, it would not be good. Let me just tell about me. It takes mm-hmm. away from my focus, Norma.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I know myself. If I like somebody, I like to spend time with them. Before you know, mm-hmm. they're here 2-3 times a week. I don't have time for that. I have so much to do. Yeah.
Right.
But another thing. Yeah. But another thing, it just takes some time till we all get laid track, till we get on a track, till we, can manifest all of this. It takes time. So
it does.
Anything, and a lot of things will happen during that time. You know, you might be a little short.
A lot of bumps
in the
road, Marietta. There's a lot of bumps in that road along the way.
A lot of bumps in the road. And don't weaken and say, maybe I should get married again. Maybe I should look. You know, my friends, they all do. Forget it. You can't think that way.
You know, can I tell you a quick thing about my son? I have a 55-year-old son who's very educated. He's got money. He's got a home. He's got 2 cars. He owns his own business, okay? Every so often, mm-hmm. people will say, Richard, why aren't you married yet? And this is his answer. And I love the idea of marriage. I always will. Marriage to me, when it's a good marriage, there's nothing better in the world than to spend the rest of your life with someone you love, die with them, cherish them. 90% of the time, we're not lucky enough for that to happen. You know what my son's answer is? Mom, I'd rather be alone and happy than married and miserable. If I get married, I want to be happy. And if that isn't in the cards for me, I'd rather be alone and happy than married and miserable. That's his standard answer. And that's pretty much it. I would love to be married, but happily. I don't want to be in that situation ever again where I'm unhappy every single day, but I'm not alone, but I feel alone. Someone's in the room, but they're not in the room. Do you know what I mean? When you're alone and you're married.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. When we were living with our parents, and there was no space, there was no 10-year space in between where we stood on our own 2 feet. Like, hey, we went to another country, and we got an education, and we learned a little bit about life. We did a little bit of dating. No, from the parents' home right into a marriage. So
That's
we
right.
didn't have a chance. Yeah, we didn't have a chance. So then later in life, so how could this all work when we don't even know ourselves? So, and all we bring in at that time is what we learned from our father and from our mother. And we create more. You know, we create
Don't you
war.
Think, though, that the girls today have an advantage over our age bracket going through a divorce? I think 90% of the girls today work on their careers right away. They don't get married young. They don't have kids right away. So God forbid a divorce does happen. The few girls that I know that are children of my friends or in their 50s, these girls are handling it way different than we did. They've
yes.
got their careers, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful because I think to myself, wow, things have gotten better in that department. They really have. They have their
well,
own credit.
Well, here's the thing, Norma. My daughter, she has a career as a cancer therapist and raised two children. But her husband, they were a team. She worked, the day shift, you know, the regular shift mm-hmm. in the week. And he also works in the medical field. And he worked, he worked from Thursday through Sunday. He did a full week, you know, during that period. But he was home with the kids all the time. At times they had babysitters just to, but not to take care of the kids. Yes.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
But I don't recall at when I was younger in my generation, hey, so you worked, you had a full-time or part-time job, and you still did everything. I even mowed the lawn. He didn't
Yay.
Think about mowing the lawn. No, it just mm-hmm. that wasn't his thing. I don't know who was supposed mm-hmm. to do it. But the yeah. men, many men help today, and they're
yes.
a team. They're a team in America.
They are.
That's,
and it's wonderful.
You know?
It's wonderful.
But
mm-hmm.
all I'm saying yeah. is, yeah, there is no free lunch. I don't care how many times, how many years you've been together. There's no free lunch.
No, not at all.
In a marriage, no. in a partnership, and that's it. And I'm all for financial independence and emotional independence. And I know you
absolutely.
Are, too, Norma.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So, we're going to go for a little break. And after the break, Julie Winter is going to join us. So stay tuned.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go.
Did you know most Connecticut workers are now eligible for up to 12 weeks of income replacement if they take time off from work to care for themselves or a loved one who's seriously ill, or to bond with a new child, or to care for a military family member injured during active duty overseas, or to address issues related to family violence? You shouldn't have to choose between taking care of yourself and your family or paying bills. Applications for benefits are now being accepted. Learn more about Connecticut Paid Leave at ctpaidleave.org.
Life Talk with Marietta continues on WICC 600.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing.
Welcome to Julie Winter's World. Julie, well known internationally as a brilliant psycho-spiritual therapist, channel, astrologer, and author of DancingHomeBook.com, available on Amazon. Julie is sharing her gifts and talents, answering your questions in times of economic stress and uncertainty. Welcome, Julie Winter.
Good evening, Julie. How are you?
Hi, Mariette. I'm very well. How are you?
I'd like you to meet my friend Norma, Norma Giannatasio.
Hi, Julie.
Norma, hello.
Hi.
Well, we have a very heated discussion. Very heated discussion here. So, because not everybody... Your chair was shaking.
A little emotional. We're a little emotional over it.
Yes, it's good to be emotional.
Yes.
But, people talk a lot. And I have several questions for you tonight, and especially about when people are not sure. And we've all been in that situation. you know, people talk about inner voice, they talk about intuition, but they can't really understand it. So I said, I'm going to ask Julie, and I would love for you to talk about the inner voice tonight, the intuition, and how accurate intuition is.
Well, intuition is something that we are born with. Everyone has intuitive capacities. In this culture, it is not recognized, sometimes criticized. So we don't develop the key. The key to intuition is awareness, training your awareness. In some cultures, intuition is recognized, given a place of importance, and you're taught to use it as a guide. Those of us in this culture who train our intuition have taken on that joy and responsibility ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, for women like Norma and myself that had to stand on our own two feet very quickly because we had children to bring up, we had to awaken very quickly, very, very quickly, because we were confronted with everything that there was. We got a monthly allowance check or a whatever it's called. What is it called?
Child Norma? Support. Yeah, alimony.
Child support.
Child support.
Alimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything else we had to look at very quickly. It's just like almost a shade. We were pulling up a shade, and we had to look at everything. And we had to handle one thing at a time, or sometimes 5 or 10 things at a time. And this repeated day after day after day after day. So at some point, we become aware. If we look at it, if we don't close our eyes to it, and we had to look at it, especially we had 4 children, I had 1 child. You know, and going through life without having somebody's backing. People always, even people talk today in general, oh, you should have good friends and you should have support. No, a lot of people don't have that support system because they don't have a family here or they don't get along with the family. A lot of people are on their own 2 feet.
Yes.
That's the truth. You know, it's either swim or die. That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go through that, it's really hell. It's hell. And many times you say, forget this. I don't want this and this and that. But if you stick it through and it will take a few years, I'm telling you.
Well, that's where the inner voice, you have to think somebody's talking. Yeah. That's where the inner voice comes in.
Yes.
Says, I could do
and
this.
One of the
this
things
is, yeah.
that you can do for yourself to support yourself and get good guidance as a woman or as a man is develop your intuition. Intuition is the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning. So
for people that don't understand the practicality, how is that done? When somebody comes to you, Julie, and says, I just don't understand what's around me. I can't read it. I don't understand. How can you guide a person like that? What needs to be done?
Yes. The first thing that needs to be done is look for what is accessible. And what is accessible is to learn to develop your awareness. So if someone has no experience with intuition or no conscious experience with it, you can use a practical example. Mm-hmm. If you walk into a room full of people that you don't know, and many of those people are angry, you can feel it. You can sense it. If you walk into a room of people you don't know and the people there are peaceful, happy, you can feel it. So the first thing that I say when I start to train people is develop your awareness. It's there. It's just not been developed. learn to be quiet for a few moments every day,
mm-hmm.
and to encourage yourself to be aware. Sit with your eyes closed and notice, what am I aware of? What do I hear? What do I feel? You're not seeing because your eyes are closed. As you practice awareness, when I go into a room, be quiet for a moment. What are you aware of? The information is there, but you have to train yourself gently and compassionately to use it. And it's helpful to be doing this with other people in a group or have a teacher. It's hard to do alone.
Interesting.
Do you know, Julie and Norma, I have come across women, just women now. They're anywhere between 60 and 75, almost 80. And when I talk to them in a certain way, similar to what you're saying, because I like to share a little bit about what I learned in life, they totally dismiss it. Oh well, we all have bad days, and it's okay. I just needed a couple of days to, and you know, I'm back. I bounce back. So, they don't even want, you know, and they're at this age now, where they totally dismiss that. Of course, we're not talking about. There's still enough people out there that gladly, if we guide them, they gladly take on new things.
Oh, yes.
And they will try it. There are enough out there.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. We always say, I don't know who said that, but I guess we heard it all our life, when you get a little older, you get wiser. I don't think that's true. That's a big lie.
No, it's not necessarily true.
it's a lie.
I agree. I don't think it's necessarily true either. Some older people just, I don't know. I think this is terrible to say, but sometimes you just can't fix stupid, you know, and that's, it's kind of a silly saying, but it's really true. You can't just, and I think, Julie, I think a lot of things that you're saying to me, I use the word vibe. I get a vibe off of people. So does Marietta, and I'm sure in your business, you sure do. It's a vibe. It's like you said, that feeling. That subconscious feeling.
And it is literally.
It's a good vibe, or is it a bad vibe, or am I cautious about you? But the vibe is there. You're right. From the very minute, it could be in the eyes of someone, their smile, their disregard for you, or the way they turn away from you when they look at you. It can be so many things, but it's a vibe. It's a vibe, and you're right. You really do have to pay attention to it.
It is a vibe, and everyone has an energy field around.
Right.
This has been proven over and over again.
Yes.
And human beings communicate energy field to energy field. Doesn't matter what they're saying. And that's what we call the vibe. You pick up on that person's energy. And you ignore it at your own peril.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to have a not-so-funny therapist joke. When you meet someone, you know everything you need to know about them in the first 10 minutes, and then you spend 5 years forgetting it. Until you get back to realizing it and saying, oh, wait a minute, I knew that to begin with. Training our intuition, teaching ourselves to be aware and pay attention and value it, and also to understand the way it comes to you. It comes to people different ways. Some people get a vibe that's kinesthetic, that's in your body. You can feel it in your belly. Some people will hear a phrase in their head, like, don't like that person. Some people will get an image. You have to be not only aware, not only train your awareness, but be aware of the way you are aware. Because my way may be different from your way.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense.
So, because we're all, even when we were kids, we would very quickly establish, oh, I like this one and that one I don't like.
Yes,
and this
exactly.
one, and, you know. So remember when we were kids, Norma, in school?
Yeah,
you know, I don't like this one. Well, why? Oh, well, she wears her hair funny, you know. This kind of stuff.
We just didn't know. We just didn't know who we were going to connect to as children. And we did it almost like without even realizing it. It was natural.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a child, I think it's very natural to just be drawn to someone, whether it's an adult or another kid. Don't you think more than an adult, it's easier with children?
Well, yes. And sometimes if you're an adult walking with your child and you meet someone in the street and you chat with them and your child pipes up, I don't like that lady. And then it's polite to say, oh, no, dear. But the child is probably picking up something in that person's energy field that they don't like. And since they and saying so.
Right.
Absolutely.
Children do that a lot, don't you think, Julie? I think children do that a lot.
Yeah, I do think so.
I have five grandkids, and that's kind of common. I hear kids saying things like that all the time. Yep.
Yeah. And they're telling they're telling the truth.
They need to get a medal.
They're also very spiritual, too. Kids can pick up on spirits and feelings and things that adults can't. They're more innocent. They're more open
They do, and then they're discouraged because we don't really honor it in this culture and other cultures. It, as I said, it's respected, it's acknowledged, it's trained. The child is then discouraged from having access to this very powerful and important way of understanding the world, both the inner, your inner world and the outer world.
Mm-hmm. And,
because
you know, Julie, I have heard people say, well, how do I know it's the truth? Now, what am I going to tell them?
Well, I say... We all have a natural ability. If you haven't trained it, then you need to focus on training it and practice. You practice. You say, okay, this was my intuition in this situation. Did that hold up? Yeah, that held up pretty well. This was my intuition in another situation. Did that hold up? Nah, not so well. You practice and you train it and you observe the results of your intuition. What I say to people when I channel, which is a word I don't love, but I work in an altered state, you have to evaluate this. It isn't true just because someone is channeling it. It's just another opinion. The same with training your own intuition. You have to practice and then evaluate the success of your results in a loving way. Okay, that worked out well. No, that one didn't work out so well.
I think consistency to train that every single day, no matter what situation you're in, that's key, the consistency. And also, what happens when you don't listen to your inner voice?
This is a really good question because it depends on what you're asking. If your inner voice says, I think I'll wear the red dress to that party, and you don't listen, and you wear the blue dress, and you're uncomfortable, and you don't like it, and it's not very attractive, okay, you were uncomfortable, it's not very important. If your inner voice says, I think you should go to the doctor, I think you felt something unusual in your breast, then if you pay no attention and it is important, that's a whole different story. So it depends on what you're looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have just found that once I paid attention to my intuition and it becomes a guide, it never lies to you. And also, when I override it, when I start, when the intuition says, don't do any business with them, or that person is not okay, and I start putting my own words, oh, that person is okay, you know.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you know, I fall flat on my face. And
yes,
this is what many, many people experience.
Yes,
we're just
going to
go for. We're just going to go for a quick break. He won't.
Yes.
He won't let up. So let us just go for a quick music break. Sorry about that. I really appreciate it. I got to be very nice to him because he has the buttons. He has total control, and I always have to be very nice to him. So anyway, but we just want to wrap up the segment, the intuition segment, because I know you have something else for us that you want to share. So I say always listen to your inner voice and cultivate. If you have any questions, call us. Julie, do you want people to contact you per email or per telephone, or how do you want this done?
Email is fine.
Okay. What is your email, Julie?
JW at one word, winterchild.com.
Thank you. No, and if people didn't have a pen, just contact me tomorrow and I'll put you in touch. So important, because I learned that you give programs on teaching intuition. That's very, very, also advanced classes. Very, very interesting. So anyway, we have a few minutes left. Julie, I would ask you, what did you bring for us?
Well, it's about intuition.
Okay.
It takes place in the home of a woman named Frida. It's from my book, Dancing Home, and it's the beginning of a tarot class. The tarot cards are used to focus your intuition. So people are gathering. Frida takes the rocking chair and looks around the room. All of you too, she says, gesturing as the group watches her. Look around the circle. Notice who is here, what the room feels like. Let yourself be aware of your perceptions and your judgments. Be curious about your mind so that eventually you learn discernment. Having looked, now close your eyes and sense what is in the room for you without your sight. Let the judgments keep going so you're aware of them, of the stories they tell. The group closes their eyes, their bodies shifting slightly as they do. Frida reviews some of what she has become aware of so far. There's a small woman with blue-gray eyes and the blackest lashes, her gaze full of tenderness, but scratched with a lightning scar of sorrow. She is sitting next to a woman with an air of competence and humor, their closeness evident. There's the tall, dignified woman carrying imploded vitality that probably pushes her through the world with an intense focus. And the man she came with, his face full of hope, some devilish conflict, an old companion. He has the face of a young priest, Frida thinks. Frida observes her own judgments and impressions about these people seated earnestly in her living room. They are the tarot deck, revealing itself through them, displaying its intricate moving symbols and interactions. One, the emperor, perhaps, whose steady power lot hides his vulnerable interior. One might be the fool, half wise, but not really the figure the Beatles sing out. So Frida likes the song. And the other cards, in varying combinations, all sitting, eyes closed, on this spring evening.
So what I, thank you, Julie, what I take from that, just picture everybody, we're sitting in a doctor's office and we have about 10 people in the room, and how quickly we can pick up who is who and the different vibes, the different feelings, the different energy. And I went through it again today where I had a nice conversation and I felt the person's energy over the phone, and it put me down flat for 3 hours, that negative energy.
Wow.
And it was not the spoken word.
Cool.
The words were kind. The words were kind, and the energy was dirty in the possibilities. Mm. And I had to lay down for 3 hours today. I really
wow.
mean that.
Mm.
You
wow.
cannot shake it. So I want everybody to be aware of it more and more, and we will have more programs. As a matter of fact, Julie Winter will be with us next week again. Also, Dr. Chris, health in our mind directly improve health in our bodies. So we need to become more aware, and more than ever before, because we need to be able to trust ourselves, our own judgment. And this is what it's all about, because it's all in us. Some is more cultivated than others, but your inner voice never lies to you. I just have to listen to it. I never lie to myself. I just have to listen to the voice. I really, really mean it. I really mm-hmm. mean it. It was very tough for me not to say too much tonight, you know, the way I was asking questions. But
great.
It's so true. You know, great. Julie Winter, we will see you next week. My
see
dear Norma, my friend, we will be thinking about you on Thursday.
Thank
you for making it possible. You know?
Okay, nice to meet you.
And
Julie.
We love
Thank you.
You,
guys. Thank you.
Thank you. And
too.
Everybody, a great week. We see you next week. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mr. Rich. Good night.
Okay. Good night. Good night.